episode 452 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you are having a blast with Midnight Hunt Limited,
oh, yes,
or you're just waiting for some sweet, sweet rotation to kick in at your LGS, we are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's show, we are talking all things Midnight Hunt.
That's right. We have been playing Sealed. We've been playing Draft. And we're going to tell you all about the different decks that we have personally, you know, drafted. And also, what is it looking like for some overall, you know, archetype breakdowns and some color breakdowns?
Yeah, because at the start of a new format, things are a little bit crazy. Like, everything
is wild, different.
Like, yeah. It's brand new cards, brand new mechanics.
Who knows what's happening?
What's good? What's bad? So the best thing to do is to evaluate it kind of as an overall idea of how is the set feeling? Like, what is the speed like? Is it fast? Is it slow? What overall thoughts do you want to keep in your head as you draft? And we're going to let you know what those are.
How many times have you accidentally decked yourself so far this format?
What you have?
Oh yeah, buddy.
Oh wow, I haven't yet.
Wow. Well, we might be drafting different kinds of decks.
Oh,
but
interesting.
Lost at least one match to decking myself.
Ooh, I'm interested. Okay, that's a teaser for later. We're also going to open up this box that Wizards of the Coast sent us here.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a Flavor Text Theater because, yeah, it's a brand new set. Time for a new Flavor Text Theater.
Great.
Spooky movie pitches.
Yes, we love movie pitches. We know that most of you love movie pitches, so we're going to hit you with some fresh ones.
Yeah, and horror themed, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, all things considered.
Spooky.
But before we do any of that, thank you to everybody who is a supporter over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Yes, thank you so much to all of our patrons. We hope that you had just a freaking blast.
Oh, yeah.
In our patron only tournament this past weekend.
It was so fun.
It was a really good time. We had a really good time.
Yeah. We played Gladiator. We hung out in our Discord, which you get access to if you're a patron. You can ask questions about limited decks, about standard decks, whatever constructed. We have commander channels.
Yeah.
Anything you want, you can hang out in our Discord, which is a really friendly, happy place to be for Magic, which sadly isn't the case everywhere for Magic. So we like to keep our Discord nice and happy, and you get access to it if you're a patron.
Maria, unfortunately, this is usually the time where we say the names of new patrons.
Ah, yes.
But we don't have any this week, which means it's time for
the sad trombone. Wah, 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 wah.
Oh man, what a bummer.
That's a bummer town.
Hey, if you are not yet a patron, or perhaps you paused your patronage for a while, you did some patronizing of other podcasts, it's a great time to become a patron of Good Luck High Five.
Yeah.
Because do you know what? Otherwise, Maria will make that sad trombone noise again next week.
I don't want to make it again next week.
2 weeks in a row?
I don't want to make this sad noise.
Sad trombones in a row? The world cannot handle it. So, you know, head on over, become a patron. Like Maria said, you get access to our Discord. It's a great place. As little as a buck a month, which doesn't get you the Discord, but only $5 a month does.
That's approximately $1.25 an episode or something.
Yes, it's literally that.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
What a bargain.
Math.
What a bargain. I believe, personally, I have a very high opinion of myself, and I think that I've already said $1 worth of words.
Already bought and paid for this episode.
Exactly.
Thank you as well to Card Kingdom for being our incredible sponsor. You can check them out over at cardkingdom.com/GLHF. Say Good Luck High Five in. They'll give you a sticker or a token in your order for free.
Yeah.
Whatever you want for your magical life, they've got it.
Absolutely. They are such a wonderful set of people.
Yeah.
And now that this new set is out.
Yeah, get your box.
Get your box. Head on over there, order it. You can draft with friends. It'll be a great time.
And you know what? I just had a friend text me and say, I want to learn how to play Magic.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, well, I need to get some of those beginner decks from Card Kingdom.
Yes, you do.
They're $5, single color, and they'll help your friends learn how to play.
So,
Card Kingdom.
Do it.
Should we open this box, Megan?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So this mysteriously arrived on our doorstep in a cloud of smoke.
Just kidding. I was going to say, I wasn't here for that, but.
Innistrad, Midnight Hunt.
Midnight Hunt.
Ooh.
Well met, Planeswalker.
Oh.
Your bravery in joining us for the Midnight Hunt debut on September 2nd is no small feat.
Oh,
enclosed, you will find a few tokens of our appreciation to help you celebrate the launch of Innistrad, Midnight Hunt.
Return to gothic horror with Innistrad Midnight Hunt. The Harvesttide Festival and Witch's Ritual awaits you.
Ooh.
But will you help ward off the coming night or embrace the darkness and become what you fear?
I want in for this ritual.
Yeah, man.
Look
yeah,
at
you. Yeah, you.
We've got all
Maria's
of this.
Maria's all about ritual, especially with all the candles that have we've been seeing.
Oh, so many candles.
So many candles.
I love candles. We've got more fake leaves, everybody,
oh
for our set.
Oh, my goodness. Also, we have a box.
Yay!
Which makes me think, you know, at some point, we haven't done any wacky box openings
That's
lately.
True.
We might have to figure out one where we transform. You know?
Where we transform into something.
I'm just
All right,
thinking.
You're just spitballing. All right.
Also, this is my first time ever seeing a set booster box.
Yeah, that's a set booster box. It's a little bit different.
Wild.
Yeah, you get, like, so the packs have different cards in them
yes.
and stuff. You can get stuff from the list in there.
Wow.
Wild, yeah. I'm really into these leaves, though, I gotta say.
Yeah, you are.
We also have a commander deck in here. We got the Undead Unleashed commander deck with Will Helt, the Rot Cleaver.
Oh.
As the commander.
The Rot Cleaver.
Let's cleave some rot together, you know what I mean?
Also, apparently, canonically, he's just trying to impress Gisa.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Is she impressed, though?
No, not yet.
No. Takes a lot to impress that
he
lady.
He was like, oh my goodness, I love you. Look at how amazing at raising the undead you
Look
are.
Look at me cleave this rot.
She was like, hard pass. And he was like, I will go raise a ghoul army for you.
Wow.
So that's what he's out doing.
Have somebody look at you the way that Wilt Helt, the rot cleaver, looks at Gisa.
Yeah.
We also got this here, which is limited edition Pinfinity pins.
What?
Let's look at them.
I want to see them.
We're big on pins here in the Good Luck High Five family.
Leaves.
Lots of leaves.
We're going to be covered with leaves
I know,
at some point.
So many leaves here. Okay, let's crack this bad boy open. Ooh.
Wow.
Check it out. Ooh. These are some serious pins.
These are some, yeah.
They're
Arlen,
huge.
The Pack's Hope, Arlen the Moon's Fury. Who dis? I can't see from here.
And that just looks like a werewolf situation.
A werewolf situation.
Yeah.
Great. I
so
love
these,
me a werewolf situation.
So these pins look like the black planeswalker cards. You remember
oh,
those
yeah.
from like Gen Con a few years ago?
Yeah.
They're
except
done in
that,
that
they
style.
Have the
Equinox
border.
Border?
Yes.
Oh, wow. They
Wait,
are gorgeous.
I can't be Pax Hope.
Do you want to be the Moon's Fury?
Yes, obviously.
Okay.
If anyone, you Pax Hope, I'm Moon's Fury.
Wow. This is like, if you want a pin that will also kill a man, consider
this is
these.
It.
These are heavy and really cool looking.
Ooh. This
wow.
is awesome.
Wow. Yeah. So check out these Pinfinity pins if you're a pin collector like
I'm gonna put this in
like
my bag.
I am. Yeah, for sure.
Spook some people with it.
That's really neat. And we've got some collector boosties.
Yeah.
Yay.
Ooh, this is, we're going to crack one of these. Today for
yeah,
our
for sure
for our episode
100% this will be our flavor text. It'll be very fancy flavor text theater.
Ooh,
I love
spooky.
Collector boosters every
Same.
Time I go to Target I'm like oh
collector
should I buy
boosters.
A collector boostie
also Target of all places but it's true they just
they
put them,
have them
because they put them at the spot where
yeah.
you have
the impulse.
Reached your decision fatigue
yeah.
point and you can't
they
decide.
Know They know what's up.
Literally all stores know. They're
yeah.
built around it.
It's how a store works. Okay,
yep.
So we're going to start our...
Let me see this.
Yeah, take
Do you know what? What if we give... We'll give this pin away to one person who comments on this YouTube video.
Ooh.
With... Ooh, it's the Midnight Hunt symbol, but it has like cool day art as the background and night art as the
foreground.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really cool. I'm
going to
wear my
pin. Just comment with who your favorite werewolf.
Who's your
It could
wolf?
Be Innistrad,
in or
but
whatever.
It could be like American Werewolf and London Wolf.
Oh.
Who's great.
It's a great wolf.
Great wolf. Anyways,
okay,
and we'll
I'm
send you this guy
jacket.
Who's very cool. I'm already regretting saying this, but
this
here
is the
I already
sound
committed
of that pin.
To it.
Yeah.
But because this pin is baller.
And they also have like virtual reality with these pins. Just
yeah.
saying, there's a whole thing with them. It says on the back. Yeah, really cool. Thank you to Wizards of the Coast for that free box of stuff. We're going to start a discussion today about Midnight Hunt Limited with some of the decks that you've been
yeah.
drafting, Megan. Or do you want to do the overall thoughts first?
Let's No, let's kick it off. Okay. Like, let's look at these. What we're going to do is I'm going to show Maria the photos of these decks, and she's going to make a guess at what my record was with them. So this first one is a sealed deck, Maria.
Okay.
So this was my sealed,
this is your pre-release?
My sealed deck, yes. I took a snapshot when I opened it because I had a land plus at least two of our worst rares from our worst rares video.
Oh, yeah.
So that was very fun.
If you're listening to the podcast version of the show, by the way, you can check out the show notes. There's a link in there to look at these decks along with us, by the way, if you want to see visual representations. So I'm looking at a green-black Golgari fun time here.
Yeah, okay. So I had
what are
a
your
Shipwreck
rares?
Marsh as my rare, a Spectral Adversary. He cute and good.
Yeah, very good.
A Hallowed Respite, one of our worst.
Oh, yeah.
Willowgeist.
Oh, yeah, that's the green one.
The green one. Mm-hmm. And then the two that ended up in my deck, as you will see, because I'm green-black, Gisa, Glorious Resurrector, and Augur of Autumn.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Ooh, that's cool. So you got Gisa.
Yes.
All right, yeah, we're playing green-black here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 2-drops, including Olivia's Midnight Ambush, which is great.
Just
removal.
Excellent.
-2/-2/13/-13 if it's night.
Yeah.
We've got 2 copies of Defenestrate.
Just removal for days,
nice,
baby.
Nice. You have Augur of Autumn, like you mentioned, which is the cool little Courser of Crufix.
For you can play lands. And you can just play creatures if you have Coven.
So what does Gisa do again?
Gisa is when a creature an opponent controls dies, instead of going to the graveyard, you exile it, and at the beginning of your next upkeep, you put it onto the battlefield under your control, and it has decayed.
Okay, cool. I love that. You've got some cool multicolored cards in here as well. Grizzly Ghoul, which is the 4/3 trampler. Diagraph Rebirth, which returns cards from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah, but as you'll see, my top end is just 2 copies of Burly Breaker, which is the 6/5 that becomes an 8/7.
All right.
It does have wards. So
you got a big
nice.
Dum-dum.
Diagraph Horde, which is the 3/4 that creates 2 zombies with decayed.
LSV called it Grave Titan
yes.
on Twitter.
It's a very good card.
And it is.
It is busted.
Yep.
This card is quite good.
Jeez. I don't know. I like the look of this deck, honestly. You also have a Duel for Dominance, the green removal spell.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sealed, so you want to be a little bigger and slower than other formats. Yep. I want to say you got to 6 wins.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this looks like a good deck.
It was very solid.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just got like out aggroed by something.
Yep.
They would just, you know, run me over. Or every once in a while, you know, somebody just goes like, I think I ran into some flyer trouble.
Sure. Yeah.
Because Defenestrate.
No flyer.
Does not deal with flyers.
You can't throw a bird out a window. I mean, well, you can't, but it's not going to die.
You can. All right, Maria. This is my first draft deck.
Ooh, first draft.
Black, white.
All right. First thing that jumps out at me here is that you opened a Liesa, Forgotten Archangel.
Yes, I did.
That card's busted straight in half.
That card is very, very good.
That's a 4/5 flyer with lifelink BT dubs that when something dies, it just goes back to your hand.
Yep.
Fun. I also had that in one of my early seals.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a look here. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Once again, 2 drops. Another copy of Olivia's Midnight Ambush. Vampire Interloper, the 2/1 with flyer that can't block.
Yep.
Love that card, obviously. 2 copies of Borrow Time, which is the white removal spell.
Yes.
With the O-ring effect, as we say. You've got Gavinny Trapper to tap things down.
Mm-hmm.
2 copies of Siege Zombie, which lets you tap 3 creatures to drain your opponent for 1.
Yep, you got it.
Which is great. 2 Celestia Sanctifier, the 3/2 when day night flops. You get to choose a card, put in your yard, or keep one.
I like that card a lot.
I like that card a lot, too.
It's quite good.
I like it a lot, too. Gavinny Silversmith is a great card that distributes 2 +1/+1 counters.
Yep, really good.
Ooh, this is looking like a nice little aggressive deck.
Yeah.
Nice little I think this looks good. What did you get with this in your first draft? I like the look of it. I'm going to give this draft 7 wins.
1. It has 1 win.
What happened?
I don't know.
What happened? This deck looks good.
It does look good. I will say, I do remember, I did. You know how sometimes you hit the end of a run with a deck and you're like,
This deck was better than that run.
I do feel like this deck was better than its performance. And you specifically have the feeling of looking at this and you're like, I don't feel like I cast that many spells.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't think I cast many spells. I think that I did run into, like, the flood side of things.
Sure.
quite a bit with this.
Yeah, I'm going to say this was a kind of a variance issue. Yeah. I think this is a solid deck. And black, white, two very good colors in this format.
Yes, very good. And like you said, just like some really solid cards in there.
Ooh, okay. This one I'm all excited right for.
This is a blue-white deck. Has our good old friend Curse of Surveillance in it.
Oh, Curse of Surveillance is in here. You're also running Ominous Roost, which is a little build-around uncommon.
Ooh, I love this card so much. Two and a blue.
Whenever you disturb, you get a 1/1 burb that can only block creatures with flying.
Disturb burb.
A disturb burb. And probably...
Disburb.
A disburb.
Yes.
I drafted a deck with this as well, with two copies of that card. And yeah. I went all in on disturb. It was bad. But whatever. Maybe you had a better experience with it. Faithful Mending, which... I think of as a Megan card immediately. Gain two life, draw two cards, discard two cards, flashback. Yeah.
Yep, it really is.
You've got Devoted Graft Keeper, which is the white blue kind of signpost uncommon for building this archetype. Two Sun Gold Barrage to kill big things.
Yep.
More draw spells in Memory Deluge at rare.
Yeah.
And Grafted Identity, which is another rare.
Yeah.
And that we talked about that card on the upkeep.
And I also have, as you'll see, Suspicious Stowaway, also a rare.
Suspicious Stowaway, great. Wow.
And a copy of Borrowed Time as a little bit more removal.
And at your top end, you have two copies of Soul Guide Griff, the 3/4 flyer.
That card is just so good.
I like that card.
I will tell a later story about that card.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess 7 wins for the previous one. This one, was it 6?
Yeah.
It was exactly six. Okay.
This is the deck with which I decked myself.
Okay. Yeah. This is what this
I decked
is it,
myself
huh?
once and I came wildly close a second time.
I mean, yeah, you have Curse of Surveillance and Memory Deluge, I guess.
And Faithful Mending, which is card draw. Suspicious Stowaway, which is card draw. I love drawing cards.
This is a Megan deck if I've ever witnessed one.
But I had an opponent who gained so much life. They just kept gaining life.
Oh, that's funny.
They gained life 1 billion times. So.
Okay. I like this deck.
It was great. It was so good. Maria, I will tell you, I specifically set out not to draft blue-white again.
Sometimes it just happens to you, you know?
Sometimes it just happens to you. So here's my very next deck.
I feel like I often come up with this. I'm like, oh, I just drafted that. I don't want to draft it again. I want to do something different. But sometimes you just got to do it.
It's just what happens. Right.
So in this case, you have 3 Soul Guide Griffs at the top end, along with a Phantom Carriage, the 4/4 flyer. Big beefy boy. You have a Grafted Identity again.
I know. What can I say? This happened to me.
Okay.
I also have an Ominous Roost again.
And you have the Celestis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that card.
Cool.
It's pretty great.
You also have a Faithful Mending again and 2 Devoted Graft Keepers this time.
Yes, I do.
Wow. Okay. All right. Was this one 7 wins?
No, it was none.
What?
I know.
Well,
I will say, so what I wanted to say about Soul Guide Griff is that I got absolutely hosed in a mirror match where my opponent, I think, had 5 copies of Soul Guide Griff because they just exile each of your things. And so, right, these decks, the black white or the blue white deck operates on casting everything twice.
Sure.
That's what you want to do. Yeah. Like, that's why it's good. And if you can't cast these spells twice, they're not good anymore.
I just cast my 1/1 for 1.
So I just got wrecked.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Isn't it wild?
Well, I mean, this is just very cool. So like, look at these two decks, compare them. And
because they side by side are very
on paper,
similar.
They look similar.
Yes.
Interesting.
So it's just like absolutely. I feel like it's something that I've noticed about this format is it does feel a little volatile, at least right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like you said, like these two decks, as similar as they are, should not have as big of a win difference as 0 and 6.
Are we blaming some of that on variance here?
I don't know, right? For this one,
you even
just
have Fateful Absence in here, the white removal spell that kill anything.
Exactly. No, I think that maybe it was, right? Like, maybe it was a little, right? Sometimes you just draw.
I don't know.
You just draw weird. But it just kind of felt like it didn't.
How many disturb cards you got? You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 disturb cards, or 8 with your Ominous Roost. That seems good. 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It seems good.
Right?
I can't explain it.
Me? I mean, right now, me neither.
And then this is a deck that is currently in action, Maria.
Oh, okay. This one's in action.
Yes. It is black green.
Black green. Okay. Primarily black, I will say.
Yes.
Here. So let's take a peek here. oh, you're splashing for Can't Stay Away, I noticed.
Yeah, I am.
You've got Jadar, Ghoul Caller of Nephalia.
Yes.
Which is a mythic.
Quite good.
Very good card.
He has only shown up once so far, so.
Come on, Jadar, what the heck?
That jerk really needs to get his act together.
Your other rare that you have, I see right here, is Sereth the Viper's Fang, which is the 3-4 that gives everything that's tapped Death Touch.
Yes, and everything that's untapped Hexproof. And I have another mythic in Lord of the Forsaken.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty sweet. And yeah. You have this really good uncommon Rise of the Ants.
Yes.
Which makes you ants.
It's so good. It makes 2/3/3 ants and you gain 2 life.
And you gain 2 life and it has flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that card's nutty.
Great.
I love that card. For removal, what do we have here? Eaten Alive. Very good removal spell. We have a Blade Brand, which I'm going to give a kind of removal score to.
And Duel for Dominance.
Okay.
Yeah. So not as much, but.
All right. Well, I think this deck looks.
And Silverbolt.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah. This one has, this one is my most synergistic so far.
Sure.
And I am really loving it because I have the 3-mana Arrogant Outlaw.
Yep.
Which is the 1/3 that whenever another creature dies, you draw a card. It only triggers once each turn.
Love this card.
But it can trigger on your opponent's turn and on yours. And then I also have Ghoulish Procession, which says whenever a non-token creature dies, you get to make a zombie. And that one is also only once each turn.
Great.
But it is a
sweet combo.
Making zombies all the time because of Ghoulish Procession, and you can just attack with them and they have decayed, so they'll die and you draw a card.
I love this combo.
It's really good.
I love sacrificing things in this set. I think more than any other set where sacrifice has been a theme.
I think that this is a very graveyard-centric set.
Oh, yeah.
More so than anything else that we've seen in a while.
Really cool. You also have Novice Occultist in here. I love this card, which is the 1/2. When it dies, you lose a life.
Haven't drawn
that
one yet. Needs to show up.
I love that card.
That jerk needs to appear.
I would love that card to die every day of the week.
It's amazing. Yeah, there's just so much, right? This one has Eaten Alive, but Eaten Alive in this is always a 1-mana removal spell.
Oh, yeah.
Morcrut Behemoth, which is the 8/7 with Menace.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's 4 and a black, but you either have to pay 1 black or sacrifice a creature. It's always 5 mana. You just have stuff.
And you've got a copy of Ecstatic Awakener.
Yeah.
Which I also love, where you pay 3 and you sacrifice a creature, it transforms into a 4/4, but you also draw a card off of it.
Yeah.
That card is really, really spooky, and you can transform it on turn 3.
Yeah.
And then your opponent's like, I'm being attacked with a 4/4 on turn 3, and you just drew a card.
I don't know what to tell you.
And maybe you drew 2 cards if you sacrifice your Novel Occultist to it.
Exactly.
So like...
Things are good.
Whatever.
So, like I said, this one's not done yet.
Yeah, this deck seems sweet.
I'm currently 2-1 with it.
Okay.
So.
Great. Big fan.
We will see. I did get aggroed out by a red-white deck.
Oh, yeah?
That I was at 11, and they attacked me with 2 creatures, and I was like, I'll block one of these because it's a profitable block. And then they put 2 pump spells on the other one and then used the Moon Ragers thing that can deal 3 to the face to finish me.
Yeah, I've had that happen too.
It was wild. I was just like, I didn't think I was dead.
Here's one of my overall thoughts about this set. The tricks are quite good.
Yeah.
Quite good in the trick department. So you do have to be very careful because you can kind of get dead out of nowhere, like Megan just said.
That was the loss, and I was just like, things were like, right? I was like, I'm about to turn this around, right? Like, they
like,
only
let's
have
go.
Like
Here we
2
go.
Bad creatures. I had just played the Diagraph thing that makes 2 zombies and been like, I'm feeling like a million bucks.
I'm feeling not dead right now. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I've had that feeling too. And before pre-releases, sometimes people will print out sheets that you can study that show the tricks in the set and stuff. And I'm like, that's helpful. But I think in this set, it honestly feels more helpful than in recent memory.
It's very,
the tricks are good.
The tricks are good.
All right, so let's talk about overall thoughts here.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, we are early in this format, obviously. Just came out last Thursday on Arena. So things can really change because people are going to adapt to what's really good and try and circumvent that in some cases. However, I will say that we've got a lot of data from 17 lands, and that is more than 90,000 best of one games.
Whoa.
Which is a lot.
Also, just there have been more than 90,000 best of one games played already.
That's wild. So, you know, can things really change that much when you have that much data? Potentially. Yeah. But I think a lot of what we're going to say here is going to hold true throughout the set.
Yeah.
And yeah, so just keep those two things in mind. They can both be true at the same time. So here is early color rankings for draft win percentage and win power and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Depth of the commons and uncommons. People are thinking that blue is the best color. Megan's like, yes.
Thank goodness.
Thank finally.
Yes.
Because
yes,
blue was so bad in the last set.
Really was.
Here we go. Blue is having its day again.
Hello, blue. It's
got
great.
It's got so many things it can do, yeah, and so many good ways to interact with your creature, with your opponent's creatures.
It has removal with getting your head stuck in the cemetery, yep, gates.
Like Judge Rob told us about.
Well, yes, like Judge Rob told us a story about. It's got so much card draw. Oh. Everything comes back as a disturbed spirit that you can flies.
Bounce, bounce, bounce all day long. Ugh, make a so zombie good in the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Black, notably second best color here. Great removal.
Yep. Just defenestrate. Defenestrate all day. Olivia's Midnight Ambush.
All day.
Ambush all day.
All day. Plus, it's got these really cool zombie synergies where you're getting value from, mm-hmm, like your decayed zombies and
so
whatnot.
So much decayed value.
Talk about that later.
Oh, yeah.
White listed here as third best color. Mm-hmm. I really like white in this set.
Borrowed Time.
Borrowed Time is
I've
great.
I've drafted a lot of copies of Borrowed Time because
yep,
it is very good.
Take care of anything.
Yep. Celestia's Sanctifier, which we've talked about.
Yep, the 3/2.
Just great value.
I love white. It's my most drafted color so far.
Oh.
And it's aggressive. Yeah. Surprise, surprise. and then we have green and red, which are at the bottom.
And which leads us to one of the big takeaways.
Yep.
Werewolves.
It's not good.
It's quite bad.
And which is really sad, right? This is a werewolf set.
I know.
What's going on, man? Bad. I know. And here's, yeah, they're bad. It's kind of sad. We want them to be good. This is werewolves. Yep. We're in Midnight Hunt. They're just big. They have keyword big on them.
Yes.
However, that's an issue.
And keyword dumb.
And keyword dumb.
Keyword big and dumb.
Big and dumb. The removal in the set is so good.
Yes.
That nobody cares about your card you spent 5 mana on.
Pay 5 mana for a werewolf and they're going to be like, defenestrate it. Throw it out a window.
Oh, it's midnight? I mean, it's night. I play 2 mana and
yeah,
I kill it.
Oh, your wolf is nice and big now? Goodbye.
Bye. This, I mean, it's just... Every time I pay 5 mana for a single card in this set, do you know how I feel?
Bad.
Bad.
Unless it's the Diagraph Buddy that gives you 2 zombies.
Yeah, then
like,
I feel
and you're
fine.
Like, whatever. Plus, you're in black, so you're like, I have so many crawl from the cellar. This, you have not seen the last of this.
Exactly.
Like, this Diagraph zombie is going to crawl right back from the cellar again.
And honestly, even though I like the 3/4 flyer in white for 5, I am a little scared every time I cast it.
Really?
I feel a little scared.
Oh, for me, I think that I, like I said, maybe it's because I have been once wrecked by it.
Once wrecked, twice shy.
Once wrecked, twice shy. As the saying goes.
As they say.
I do think that, right, like in white and black, you have the cards that target stuff in your opponent's graveyard to exile it.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a very powerful effect.
Yes, it is. It
because
is for sure.
Because so much of this format is about like who can do the most value town. And if, like I said, if your opponent is just like, well, these white and blue creatures are only medium on their front side,
right,
but the value is that you cast them twice and the second time they're a flyer.
Yeah.
But if you're like, the second time actually doesn't exist, you're like
oh,
my bait hook angler was just a 2/1.
Or 2/1.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Like that's, you paid a 2/2/1 and you're like, that's not where you want to be in draft unless you're casting it from your graveyard as a flyer.
You've made 2 good points here that I want to bring up too, which is another reason the werewolves are bad, which is the disturb stuff, because you can always just block their fatty that doesn't have trample and then get it back from the graveyard for a flyer that kills them.
Exactly. That's the thing, is that all those spirits from the graveyard, all the disturbed spirits have flying, which isn't always the case on Innistrad. They're not always all flying spirits, but...
Sometimes they're just shuffling around. Playing shuffleboard.
But all of the disturbed ones so far, flyers.
And the fact that you said you're not getting the value, which I think is one of the big takeaways is the word value. When you play the card. When I've played this card, has it given me something?
Yes.
Right? And in disturbed, that's on layaway. You will get it. Hopefully.
Exactly.
But with other cards, for example, one of my favorite cards in white is the card that's 4 mana. And then when it enters the battlefield, you draw a card.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. Because you just play it. Sometimes I've cast it for single white mana.
Yeah.
Single white mana, 2/2 draw card.
However many creatures you attacked with.
Exactly.
But you know what? I've seen people cast it for 4. And I'm still kind of mad about it.
Yes, exactly. I'm still like, oh, great, fine.
I'm still upset. I'm like,
No, I want to draw the card.
I want to draw the card. So, like, that's the thing, right? We've played this card, we've gotten our creature, and we've gotten value back from drawing a card off of it. And in red-green, what are we doing? We're playing a 5-mana 5/5, and then it's getting killed for 2 mana. Did we draw our fancy card? No. Did we do anything
with
it?
No.
No. That's the problem.
Which I think is why, I like Soul Guide Griff, because for me, the value is there the minute I play it.
Sure.
One, it's going to eat removal, and two, it got me value.
Yeah.
It got rid of something that now cannot come back.
I'm just a little, I just get a little nervous spending 5 mana on a creature in this format.
Goodbye forever.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's something you want to keep in mind. When I play my creature, what am I getting from it? Am I just getting a creature? Probably not good enough.
Yeah.
Innistrad, Midnight Hunt. There. Laying down the law. We said it. Once again, I need to mention the removal being so good.
It's so good.
It's really good. It's really cheap.
I love a set with great removal.
I mean, 100%.
It's so much fun.
It's excellent. We've got Sungold Barrage. We've got Borrowed Time, Locked in the Cemetery, Geist Wave, Revenge of the Drowned, Defenestrate, Foul Play, Eaten Alive.
And you have Candle Trap on here, which you didn't even mention. Do you know what? It is good.
It gets the job done sometimes when you need it.
Yes. I have, and also I feel like white.
Especially against werewolves.
I was going to say, the nice thing is in that, like, in white and blue or white and green, they really spread out these, like, creature powers.
Yeah.
So that you have a good chance of getting Coven.
Right. Yeah. Coven, obviously, something. I'm having more fun with Coven than I expected.
I really like Coven.
You know?
It's very cool. It's cool to navigate. What do I need to do so that I make sure that I have Coven when it's relevant? What am I going to need to do with my opponent's creatures so that I can try and get rid of Coven on their side?
Yeah. Yeah. I found it to be much more fun than Party.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that I kind of compared it to when it came out. And I was like, oh, it's just kind of like Party. No, I think Coven's way better.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think it's better. It happens a little bit more easily.
Yep.
Great point. It's just, like, the benefits of it, I think the upside is also a little better.
Yeah.
Because it usually has, like, Party, the best upsides were on, like, rares.
Yeah.
And this one, there's some really solid upside on uncommons and
absolutely.
Commons.
Absolutely. Like the Flying 2/2 Witch.
Yes. The 3/3 uncommon that gives something double strike.
Yes, precisely.
Ooh, that card is
spooky.
Brutal.
Talk about being spooked.
Yeah.
That card. The other thing that I wanted to mention is your Decayed Zombies. How are you feeling about these buddies?
Oh, love them. I love them. Because, do you know what? One, they do have right? There's plenty of stuff in black to sacrifice them to.
Yeah.
But also, I won so many games, especially in Sealed, because I was able to make quite a few of them, that even if they can block one, if you're attacking, like, profitably block one, you know, they're not trading a creature for it, you can just chip in for two with the other one. You don't care that one of them died because it was essentially a bonus on some other card.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that just got enough damage to be relevant.
I love them.
You can just throw them at your opponent.
They're great. I love their animation. It's very funny.
When their little head falls, like they attack and then like their little head falls off. Like, meh.
Because they're doing my dirty work. That's what I feel like. Isn't that funny?
Like they did their job. Now they decayed.
I love it because they're aggressive. They want to attack. But also, their utility as sacrifice creatures cannot be overlooked. Sometimes I'm sitting there wondering, why is my opponent not attacking me with this 2/2? Oh, duh. It's because they want to use it to sacrifice.
I was going to say something coming down the line. Like,
Eaten Alive or whatever. Like, hello, just sacrifice your zombie to it. You want to transform your little 1/1 into a 4/4?
Just sacrifice the zombie.
Yeah. They're a terrific tool resource to use as well as attacking phase.
I love them. Yeah.
I love them.
I think that was, Decayed is kind of one of those ones that like flew under the radar as like a quote unquote new mechanic.
Yes, agree.
Because it's just like an extra note on a creature that already existed. But it's so much fun.
So much fun. To that note of red and green being underpowered in this set, is the note about ramping and splashing, which some sets we can do and we can play around and splash in the bath all day. But a lot of times you're just going to be dead in this set.
Yeah, there are decks that will do, like I said, the one that pump spelled twice and then burned my face. And I was like, well, didn't see that coming. Right? Like, if you just mess around too much, you're going to be dead.
Yeah, because this format feels rather aggressive. When I mean aggressive, I mean like little creatures attacking you, not big creatures attacking you. So beware, if you're messing around, you're probably dead.
You might be dead.
And finally, Rares in the set, good, obviously.
Yeah.
As always, but I think the uncommons are really good too.
The uncommon, oh, there's so many fun uncommons. I have ended up taking uncommons first a lot of times.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I take common.
I get past stuff and I'm like, oh, the rare is still in here, but also there's an uncommon that's better. Yeah. So
like, don't be married to your rares and mythics in your packs that you open, because we talk about sets kind of like as a prince or a popper format. And I think Innistrad Midnight Hunt is going to turn out to be a popper format,
which is nice. Yeah. I do love living in a popper environment.
It's so much better when you don't have to worry about it in general.
Not as a life choice. That's a little harder.
If you want to be a Victorian orphan on the streets of London.
Yeah.
Sometimes not so great as it might seem in your head. But yeah, that's I think is usually a better draft format when we're not playing in a prince format. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So best colors, black, white, blue, Esper time. Go have fun.
But watch out. You can get aggroed by red.
You sure can. So beware.
I also do think that green does pair well with black.
Like your black green deck did look nice.
Exactly. Like it has, if you can be like lots of, you know, all the really primo stuff in black, and then you're like, do you know what? I'll supplement this with some green.
Absolutely.
It's all right.
Yeah. Early days, new things will be discovered as this draft format continues on, but that's where we're at currently at the time of this recording.
Yeah.
Here for Midnight Hunt.
Who knows what happens next?
Next week, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into how to draft the specific archetypes.
Yeah.
What commons and uncommons we think you should be valuing really highly. So come back next week to hear more about that. Guess what I hold here in my hot, sweaty little hand?
I didn't need to know that about your hand. I just want to start there. But what are you holding?
This is a collector booster for Innistrad Midnight Hunt.
Let's go.
Okay. I'm going to crack this pack. Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. We got a foil.
A Teferi.
Teferi emblem.
Emblem. Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to... So there's some transform cards in here, everybody. So like...
Ooh, and the other side is a human.
We can't totally be blind when we're picking from this pack.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about this.
But we're going to pitch some movies to you based...
Oh my God, there's like a lot.
I know, there's a lot of them. So I'm just kind of going to put my hand out here.
Okay, I was like, we'll cover them up until we...
Cover them with the leaves.
Yeah.
And we're going to pitch... Oh, I picked the island. Do you see? I really wasn't looking.
Let me see.
Look at that foil island. Look at that, everybody.
So good.
Oh, that is beautiful.
So good.
Also, I love Pumpkin Man, the human token. Can I just say this?
Yes.
He's just a guy holding a pumpkin on his head.
Yeah.
What's his deal?
Do you know, that's his deal, Maria. You named his deal already.
He's living his best life.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to pitch movies based on the title of these cards. All right.
Yes. Okay. So in this film, this is like kind of the opposite of, there's the vampire film where they're up in Alaska. So it's night all the time.
That was a movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyways.
I would have thought they would have gone to like, where's that country where it's day for only 1 second? Like
Alaska.
Sweden?
Maria.
Is it also Alaska?
I think so.
Okay.
Anyways. Okay. But this is the opposite, where daytime is where all of the monsters are, right?
Ooh,
like they absorb their power from
the sun. That.
And so they stalk people in broad daylight.
Ooh.
And this is a place where day lasts. It's like half the year is day.
Okay.
And half the year is night.
Oh, spooky.
Instead of having like a day and a night.
Yeah.
So these people spend half of their year just trying to survive all of these monsters that get them in the daytime. And at the on the very last day is when they finally get to celebrate, like, we made it. It's about to be nighttime. We're going to have 6 months that are free of all of these monsters. And so we're going to throw a giant party. It's going to be Sunset Revelry.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. And what a great card. I love that card.
Really good card.
Reminds me of that card that in Modern, remember?
Timely Reinforcements.
There it is. All right, this film features. Okay, I've got to get it in my head together here about this one. What's going to happen is there's this character, and they want to be an artist really bad, but their family can't afford to send them to art school, so they're just being a really good artist, like kind of around town wherever they can. They fall in with the wrong crowd, and they end up like doing a lot of graffiti on everything of their beautiful art. And still nobody is noticing, like they're making these magnificent murals. Nobody noticed until they come up with the idea, like, where will everybody see my art that nobody has graffitied yet? And they think, oh, the public toilets, because everyone's got to use them in Innistrad. They have great public toilet infrastructure.
Great public toilets. Great. That's good to know.
And they're like, I'm going to put the toilets, because there you are. Your mind is clear. You're not doing anything else. You're going to have time to look at the art. Yeah. And so this graffiti artist goes into the public toilets and graffitis along the edge of the toilet bowl and does beautiful, like, paint, intricate paintings along just like the edge of the toilet. And people sit down. The nobles from Innistrad come. They use the toilet. They're like, wow, this is really good. This character is hired as a noble artist in the land from that moment forward on Brimstone Vandal.
Great. Great. Great.
I don't know what brimstone is. So therefore, it is the brim of a toilet. All right.
So in this is a kids' TV show.
Ooh, great.
That's all about what science you can do in the natural world. And specifically, it's centered around global warming. And they're like, oh, as it gets hotter, what can you cook outdoors? And of course, they start with the classic frying an egg on the street in smoldering egg.
You know what? PBS is producing that show right now.
They should. They should.
Honestly.
Also, look at this. Oh, it's the borderless one.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's really pretty.
Wow. Collector boosties are so fun.
They're really good. They're really good.
All right. In this film, this is on, what channel is it on? It's on the same channel that has Pawn Stars on and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Mythbusters. Is that the same channel? Anyway, you get the idea. It's a reality show.
Yeah.
And what it is people are going deep sea diving and they're checking out old shipwrecks and finding the jewels and the treasures from those shipwrecks and doing like little history about, oh, this was the wreck. This is what they dredged up from the wreck. These were the people who were on the wreck. The show is obviously Shipwreck Sifters, okay?
Great.
But honestly, as I'm saying this, I'm like, that show sounds really cool.
That show sounds really cool.
I was on Lake Michigan this summer and they were like, yeah, there's hundreds of shipwrecks in this lake.
Yeah.
And nobody has ever, like, peeked around in them.
I would.
Can you imagine that?
Watch that. I would watch people poking around shipwrecks.
And you can do the history component of it. Like, oh, this ship was a ship that was coming in to deliver this. This was the crew component.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a relative of the person we now know.
Oh, man.
You know, like, it would be a good show. Here I am and doing so many years of movie pitches. And now I'm like, this is an actual,
make this show.
Make this show, please.
I love it.
Okay.
There you go. Okay. So this is... This is a movie in the John Wick franchise, but it's like a spinoff, and it's about a woman who whose dead partner gifts her a falcon.
Ooh,
after,
like you got the dog.
Yeah, just like John Wick got the dog, this woman gets like a falcon.
Thanks a lot.
Exactly. But she trains it, right? They do a bunch of like cool falconry things. Except then one day, a whole bunch of like black market falcon dealers capture her falcon to sell it on the black market. And so she goes on an absolute just like butt kicking spree to try and find them, because it turns out that she used to be like an underground like MMA fighter and Falcon Wrath pit fighter. Falcon Wrath.
I can't tell you how many people want to see that movie.
Because
it's
really
all
good.
Of the world. Oh my God. It being a falcon is just an upgrade. Sorry, John Wick. In this film, this is a movie about, it's like a cat, like a real cottage core situation.
Yeah.
This poor boy is on a farm and he's been working on this farm for his whole life. And just like super handsome. Like everybody who watches this movie is like, yeah, this guy's a total babe. And it's like, oh, I wish one day that I could be something better in this farm. He works with animals and stuff and he has to end up slaughtering them, and then the farm it's just like a real tragedy. But upon out doing this, he's worked with the meat so much that he like becomes very familiar with meat and its components and all everything good about it.
I'm really interested in where this is going.
And his farm keeper is like, no, Jeremy, all you'll ever be good for is cutting the wheat and cutting the heads off the pigs. And Jeremy is like, one day I'll show you. And he opens up his own restaurant in town where he is a gourmand. And everyone's like, wow, this is the greatest food I've ever had. And he has transformed from an ambitious farmhand into a seasoned Cathar.
Yay!
In foil.
Great.
I just want to go to his restaurant.
This is like a classic like Icarus story.
Oh, great.
Crossover with like The Secret Garden, where we see a girl who is like kept locked up in her room up in a tower by some some neglectful or slightly evil guardian.
Sure.
Right? And so she spends all of her days, like, corresponding with people down on the street with, like, little, like, paper airplanes that she sends down. Except instead of airplanes, obviously, because this is, like, fantasy, she's modeled them all after birds because she loves watching the birds out of her window.
Cool.
And she corresponds with people with these, like, beautiful, ornate, like, birds that she sends down. And then one day she decides that she's going to escape by mimicking what she loves so much and builds herself a set of bird's wings and flies away forever from her terrible home in Bird Admirer.
Wow, that's great. That is right? That's like a Pixar film, I think.
It'd be very cute.
Really pretty animation.
Yeah.
This film here is is in the style of, it's like what we do in the shadows. And somebody's been murdering a lot of vampires around town. And they're like, who be doing this? Because it's like no evidence that it's other vampires. You know, there's no bite marks or anything. They're just straight up dead. Like their throats have been slit.
Woof.
Okay. Investigating. They don't know who. They eventually find out who did it. It is another vampire. But what the deal is that much like a cane with a sword inside, this vampire can take out its tooth. And when it removes its fang tooth, it's a blade all the way through. So they've like stuck the blade up through their head to keep it in their tooth so nobody knows that they have it. They take it out.
Great.
Slit. Put it back up in their mouth.
And they just drink it, the blood from like a glass?
I guess. Okay. A really nice glass. In Fang Blade Brigand.
Ooh, I like it.
I just think that's a cool visual. But look at this card, speaking of cool visuals. It's the Equinox treatment.
Yeah, it's really, really,
really
cool.
Really cool.
All right. This is like, this is a classic like bodice ripper, like under the guise of a historical novel like Outlander.
Great.
And it's about like a pair of like highway robbers. And they each think that they are the greatest. And of course, they just have a ton of sexual tension between them. And so they decide to embark on like a year long, you know, journey to figure out which of them is the best highway robber. And so they're like, at the end of this year, we'll come back and we'll compare what we've accomplished.
Wow.
And of course, what they will accomplish is falling madly in love with one another. Arrogant outlaw.
Oh, yes. Oh, great. Definitely watching. I hope it's a series. So this film is just like New Capenna, essentially, but happening here on Innistrad. And it's the crimes of slime. So a bunch of slime beings are crime slimers, and they slime the crime. And they have to find out who's going to be in charge of the slime crimes in Slogkirk, the overslime.
Ooh, great. I love it.
This
Slogkirk.
This looks great, by the way. Like, what style is this?
That's the you know, there's like the equinox for things that are, that transform.
Yep.
Or like, wait, yeah, that's the equinox is for werewolves and warlocks.
Yep.
And then everything else has like the classic black and white horror.
Yeah, this is beautiful. Yeah. Oh yeah, this is the black and white
really
horror theme.
Cool.
But the border
also is. Also, Slogurk is just my favorite name.
Just a great name
of
a card. Because it's Simic, the border is both green and blue around this black and white art. Are you kidding
it's
me?
So good. It's very, very good.
Wow. Excellent.
Okay. So we see this is like one of those kind of like creepy-ish animations that's like, it's like kind of a kid's movie, but you're like, this is spooky. And as a kid, it creeped you. And we see like the life of like a little snake on the forest floor.
Aww.
Right? And it's just going about its life. Except then one day, the little snake dies. And it's, as its like spirit rises, it discovers that like in the entire time, its spirit was that of like a person.
Oh.
And so then you get to see like this, you know, the spirit that was once a snake realize that it was a person and then like interact with the world as a spirit.
Wow.
Who's human in Sarath the Viper's Fang.
Wow.
Which in
my
mind, like the Viper's Fang is just like, it's like the spirit that was inside of it the whole
time. Realizing you were a human, seriously. The last one I'm going to do is another rare. This film is where a person really wants to be a great leader, but they just suck at everything, right? This is a Captain America situation, the first movie. They just can't get it together. They're bad at everything until a witch gives them a special talisman, which is a mirror that once they look into it, whatever they most desire, they can see coming to fruition. And if they step through that mirror, they achieve it. However, when they step through the mirror, they've achieved it. Everything's great. One little thing is like bad. Just like one little thing is always off or
it's
bad.
Always one little thing.
And it's also not real. Like they can step back through the other side of the mirror and then they just suck at everything again. But like there it is on the other side. They can live the life of their dreams where one little thing is bad, but it's all fake. Or they can live the real world. Which would you choose in Visions of Glory?
Wow.
Extended art.
Spooky.
So what do we
have? We have so many cool things, right? I'm just like looking through them.
We've got three rares here.
I'm just dividing them by what their treatment is.
Oh, sure.
So we have like all these foils, which are just, you know, a bunch of like a mix of like uncommons like Sunset Revelry. We have the rare in Falconrath Pit Fighter.
Yep.
And then we have three of the Transform Equinox frames.
Yeah, and the art style on them is so cool. It's like
two of which are foil. No, we have five of them because I forgot about Sereth.
Yeah.
So we have four of these beautiful Equinox frames.
I'm just waiting on Arena to find out what I want to play in Standard so that I know which of these bundles to buy because they're so cool.
Yes. And then two rares that are like the borderless rares.
Yeah.
And then one Slogurk.
Slogurk.
Slogurk in the black and white horror style, which is just amazing.
This island again. So this is the black and white island in foil.
I think this is my favorite. Like, oh, it's so hard. The Equinox is also amazing, but the black and white horror is just like,
yeah, I agree.
So cool.
That's my personal favorite.
It's really amazing.
Megan, are these going to be your new draft lands? Like, look at that.
Yeah, probably.
Look at that. Anyway. Friends, it's time to thank Ultra Pro for being one of our incredible sponsors.
That's right. And Maria is telling me that we are the very first people to show off the new Eclipse dice sets.
The very first, check them out. This is an 11 dice set here. Yeah. So these are all the dice you would need if you're playing D&D, or you can use them for magic, obviously.
Yep.
And they come in this great plastic case.
Yep. They have like a great case. They're so pretty.
They're gorgeous.
They're shiny.
They're kind of, how would you even describe them?
They're kind of semi-glittery. Like
glittery, semi-opaque.
Yeah.
If you put them under the light, you can see them kind of change colors a little bit. If you're looking for a really cool dice gift set, these Eclipse dice is what I would recommend.
Oh, there's four D6s.
Yep.
Classic D4.
Yep.
Then a D8, a D10.
A D12 and two D20s.
Yeah, a D12 and two D20s.
And they've got them in a bunch of colors.
Two D10s.
Yeah, two D10s.
Wow.
Which is more than you'll get in a normal like D&D dice set,
by
the way.
Oh, it says on the back. I could have just read that.
So like you're getting all of these dice, and you get four D6s, which you normally wouldn't get, which is better for magic players.
And they're just so pretty.
And they're gorgeous. This has some heft to it, seriously. And I just wanted to show off this pumpkin playmat, too.
Because look at the pumpkin!
Look at it!
It's spooky.
I was like, can you please send us a pumpkin playmat? And they were like, we already did.
Hear the holidays, the spooky holidays.
The spooky holidays are upon us. I love it because this is like bonus art, right? Like this is not in the set, but this is bonus awesome pumpkin art that you can have a playmat.
Just sick.
Well, everybody, you got more bang for your buck than usual here in this episode of Good Luck High Five.
We did a lot.
It's a long show.
Woo.
So thank you for listening and hanging out with us the whole time.
What a good time.
Thank you to Card Kingdom and Ultra Pro for being our awesome sponsors.
Thank you to our amazing patrons for being, you know, here for us as we are hopefully here for you, having a great time in our patron-only tournaments. Consider becoming one.
Yeah, patreon.com/glhfmagic takes like 30 seconds.
Or else Maria will have to make a sad trombone noise again.
You don't want
to
hear that.
It really
summons demons. Not going to say which ones. But it does.
But they bad.
They're bad. Thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out. We're going to talk more draft next week. Maybe dip our toe into Standard. We'll see what happens. I'm just so excited that rotation has happened and we have this new fun set to play.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
And I feel like Crimson Vow previews are going to start tomorrow?
Yeah, like any day now. Any stinking day.